we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name's Bob Arthurs, and it's a privilege to come to you and bring you the Word of God today. So we want to tell you today about Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any concrete or block work done, they do excellent work, and we recommend them highly. And I tell you what, anybody who works out in the heat, like we've been experiencing, and there have been people who've actually been dying because of the heat wave that's been coming across America here. So please be careful. And if you are one of those workers out there, we salute you, and we encourage you to stay hydrated and stay as cool as possible out there. We don't want to lose any of you. Brevard County needs each and every one of us living and breathing the praises of God. So if you've got some work, I know that society, my dad, I was talking to him here not too long ago. He had done some work out in Oregon at one point in time. And he said, when we went out there to do some work, I saw those people standing out in the rain, just talking like they had good sense and no umbrellas or anything. And he said, well, look at those fools out there. They're just standing out there talking in the rain. And he said a few months later, he was one of them that was out there talking in the rain. You just get used to the environment. But please be careful out there. You might think that you're invincible and that you can do as much in the oppressive heat as you can when it's cooler. Please don't make that mistake. We want you to stay healthy. But if you do need some concrete and block work done, I do know that society goes on. They start work really early, and you want somebody, listen, in the heat, concrete dries faster. So you want somebody knowing what they're doing, making sure that you get the proper finish on it. And so give them a call, 536-5804. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 22 today. Isaiah chapter 22. And I'm going to read the last part of verse number 11, and then we'll move on into verse 12 and move forward from there. It says, but you did not look to its maker, nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. And in that day, the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness and for girding with sackcloth, but instead joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating meat and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts, surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. So, as we talked about yesterday, it is very important for us to look to God and not just try and figure out our own path and figure out our own solution. God has the solution. It's not just a solution. It is the best solution. And it says here, nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. It's kind of a synonymous statement, but you did not look to its maker. But this one words it in the attitude of the heart, and that is that you didn't respect, that people did not respect the God who made the resources that they were using. About the only way that I can say this is this. If there's ever been an entity that existed that deserves respect, it's God. God deserves the utmost respect. No one has ever loved you, and no one has ever loved me to the same extent that God has loved us. And you know, as a pastor, I get so tired of people blaming God for all of the bad when that's really the area that the devil operates in. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. So that's what God does. Now, he gave you and I a free will. He gave us the ability to choose. So today you can choose to respect God or not to respect him. There is a statement by Mike Murdoch, and it says this: that which you disrespect moves away from you. That which you disrespect moves away from you. And folks, I have seen that to be true. I have seen people who did not respect their spouse and their marriages dissolved. I have seen people who didn't respect their jobs and their jobs moved away from them. You cannot respect your health and your health will depart from you. And so I encourage you today, don't disrespect God, because we don't want to be fighting the devil, a spiritual battle with fleshly weapons. That is a surefire recipe for disaster. So today I want to do a little heart check with you and say, what's your attitude towards God? Do you hold him in awe as if you are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You know, I can still remember the nervousness that I felt when I was first in the presence of my wife, when we were just going out on that first church dinner. I remember, you know, you want to make sure that you don't mess things up. You want to put on your best appearance. You respect them, so you want to treat them with honor. And you know, guys, ladies, I want to ask you, do you still have that same mindset towards your spouse now as you did, or has familiarity become so commonplace that you no longer respect them? There is not an overabundance of respect in America today. There is a serious drought of respect. And so let me say something, and I do this a lot. If you see a police officer, if you see a military serviceman, if you see a firefighter, or if you see a medical technician, if you see them, you know, an EMT, if you see somebody that is really doing their part to make society a better place, would you just go up to them and say these simple words? A lot of times it's just making eye contact with them and saying something as simple as this: thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. That doesn't necessarily mean that you agree with them on every aspect, but you can thank somebody. You can respect them for the office, even if you don't know that much about them personally. So I encourage you today. Maybe you've got a boss and you don't necessarily know all of the responsibilities that weigh down on their shoulders. And so why don't you go up to them and build them up today? Because I guarantee you, they are used to hearing a lot more complaints than they are compliments. And so why don't you find something to compliment them for today? Maybe you're the boss and you're used to hearing all of the negative. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, could teach the class. I'm there with you. But today, I want to thank you for doing your part to make Brevard County a wonderful place to live. So what's God calling you today? It says in verse number 12, and in that day the Lord God of hosts called for weeping and for mourning, for baldness, for girding with sackcloth. And so God was looking for a people who, just like it says in verse number 4, were going to be grieved by the current condition of their society. It specifically says that this was God's calling. He called for weeping and for mourning and the outward manifestations of the grieving process. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for people who would look beyond the superficial and see the actual trauma that society was going through and enduring. You know, we can get so myopic, so focused, narrow-minded, if you will, on our very own existence that we forget to look at the broader spectrum of our society. And so at the end of the day, hey, if we got our three square meals and we got we've got clothes and the air, AC's working good and all of that sort of stuff, we get to thinking about that stuff and we're comfortable. Hey, we got to eat today. We had some joy. We laughed a little bit. And who knows, tomorrow we could die anyway. That was the mindset that the people manifest when God was looking for them to say, you know what? I would rather spend time seeking God's face over the condition of my society than I would that next meal. You know, sometimes there are seasons of fasting. There was a time when they celebrate the Passover, they go back and they remember how quickly they had to get out of Egypt, and there wasn't time for the leaven to have it, so they ate unleavened bread. They ate because they were in such a rush to get out. And there are times where God will say, you know what? There is a time for rejoicing and there's a time for mourning. And I want to ask you, what's God calling you today? How does it affect you when Central Florida has been in the headlines for all of the wrong reasons? I'm not talking about from a PR standpoint. I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. How does that cause you to act? How do you respond to it? Are you grieved when you hear of people who are perishing without hope? Now, here's the point. God says, this is what I was calling for, and this is what you did instead. So instead of weeping and mourning and baldness and girding with sackcloth, instead there was joy and there was gladness and there was eating the fatted calf and killing the sheep and eating meat and drinking wine, and everybody is having the time of life, their life. And you know what that is? That is rebellion. When God calls for one thing and we do the opposite, it is rebellion. And rebellion sets us up for a greater degree of spiritual damage than we care for. You know, in Saul's life, Samuel said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's manipulation. It is disrespecting God when he says, I'm calling you for this, and you do the opposite. That is rebellion. And so rebellion always has a price tag. It always has a negative. And God says, then it was revealed in my hearing by the Lord of hosts, surely for this iniquity there will be no atonement for you, even to your death, says the Lord God of hosts. When I see that degree of declaration coming from the prophet, that tells me it wasn't something that was unintentional. It was deliberate. That it wasn't because the people were unaware of the condition. They just were unconcerned about others as long as they were being taken care of personally. As long as they were getting to eat, as long as they were getting to have a good time, as long as they were getting all of their immediate needs met, everything was fine. It didn't matter what God was calling them. And God said, when you ignore what I've called for and you are more concerned about yourself than you are those around you who are suffering and dying and perishing, he said, that is something I can't overlook. I had this thing. Now, I don't know if this is original. I really don't know if it, you know, like I said, it may be that somebody else has termed this. If they have, I don't know about it. And so everybody is selfie obsessed. I'm telling you, I think it was a week ago was National Selfie Day. Like, we needed motivation to go out and take selfies. They've come out with sticks that you can take photos of and you know, get better angles on your selfies and things like that. So what I'd like to challenge you to do is, instead of a selfie day, could we do a survey day? That you take a picture of somebody who's serving, or you have somebody take a picture of you. Because if you look, I guarantee you God's going to show you a need that you can meet. And I'm not just talking theoretically here. It's the way that I try and live my life. I try and live my life with an ear tuned towards God, where he can speak to me in a manner that will make a little bit of difference in somebody's life. And it's really not a hard or complicated thing. Sometimes it's just going over and speaking a word to somebody that you know that they could use somebody to spend a little bit of time with them. Sometimes when I'm mowing my yard, I mow a little bit of the neighbor's yard as well. It's purely a service thing. You can offer to help carry somebody's groceries. You can offer to hold an umbrella for somebody. Let's not be so selfie obsessed, and let's look for opportunities to serve one another. Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." And so I encourage you. If you like that idea, let me know. If you don't like that idea, well, it's just another one of those crazy ideas that passes through my head. So, but that's really how my brain works at times, is like, you know, that's a really good idea. And then, you know, I tell our congregation and our board, I said, the difference between a good idea and a great idea is, a good idea is something that you come up with at the end of the process that would have made the process better. A great idea is the exact same idea at the beginning of the process. And so if this is an opportunity for you to step up your level of serving your community, then let's let it be a great idea. Let's not wait until we get to the end of the day and say, oh man, I wish I had done this today. It would have been, I've got way too many of those in my portfolio. I'd like to have a few more of those ideas coming at the beginning of the process. So may God grant you vision today and how you can serve those around you. Let's look at verse number 15. It says, thus says the Lord God of hosts, go proceed to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the house, and say, what have you here, and whom have you here, that you have hewn a sepulcher here, as he who hews himself a sepulcher on high? Okay, sepulcher, that's a big fancy word for a tomb. Who carves a tomb for himself in a rock? Indeed, the Lord will throw you away violently, O mighty man, and will surely seize you. He will surely turn violently and toss you like a ball into a large country. There you shall die, and there your glorious chariots shall be the shame of your master's house. So I will drive you out of your office, and from your position he will pull you down. And so the level of apathy and disconnect from concern appears from this passage to have originated in a person of power and influence, and God calls them by name. Okay, so You know, it's one thing to stumble. It's another thing to cause someone else to stumble. You don't want to be that cause for someone else to stumble. You really don't. And so this priest by the name of Shebna, he is removed from power. And it's because he is evidently largely responsible for this disrespect of God, this lack of looking to him. And so he is going to be removed from his position and says, so I will drive you out of your office and from your position, he will pull you down. Do you realize that the reason that the religious leadership was so adamant about crucifying Jesus had nothing to do with his spiritual claims? It was because they were afraid of losing their positions of authority. And if your identity is tied up into your position and you feel that position gives you notoriety and fame and influence in your society, then you are on very, very shaky ground. So we are called to be people of influence because of who we are, not because of what we do. And John Maxwell says, positional authority is the lowest level of leadership. And that is where you say, look, I'm the boss. You've got to do what I say, because if not, I'm going to fire you. You can get people to do what you want at that point in time, but it is actually a very low level of leadership. High level of leadership is this. There is no pay. There is no reward for doing this. You simply follow a person because you believe that they are leading you to where you need to go. You follow them not because you have to, but because you want to. And Shebna had taken advantage of that position, and he was removed. And listen, he had made preparations. He had made elaborate preparations for his body when he died. He had cut himself out a tomb in the rock. And he says, what have you here and whom have you here that you have done this? He had made preparations for his own body. Now, I tell you what, I like Joseph's idea better than Shebna's idea. Shebna's idea says, I'm going to make sure that when I die, everybody here can find exactly where my body is laying, and everybody will see how important a person I was. That is the intent of those sorts. I like Joseph's idea where he says, look, God's going to deliver you from this land, and when he does, don't leave my body here. Take it with you, because I want my body in the promised land. My body's got a better future than this place. So I have a mindset about my body, and that is this: it ain't staying here. God has said that the dead in Christ shall rise, and after that, those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, and so shall we ever in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want my body to be buried, but I don't want it to be because everybody can come and say, oh, look, you know, don't expect anything elaborate from the headstone or anything like that. But I do want my body to have this response, that when the rapture takes place, if I have died, I want people to find that just as Jesus' tomb was empty, my tomb was empty, your tomb was empty, and people will be able to say, what does this mean? It means that Jesus meant what he said, and he was faithful and true. So Shebna had made preparations so that everybody would see how important he was even after he died. But he says that that he will not experience what he had prepared for. You and I, we need to prepare so that, when God's timing is fulfilled, that we will get to experience it. I fully intend on experiencing a move of God at Merit Assembly of God. I fully expect to experience salvations increasing in the next few years more than they have in the first 64 years. I expect signs and wonders and healings. I expect people to be called into ministry. I expect people growing in their faith. Those are the things that I expect, and those are the things that I make preparation for. I don't want to spend a lot of time making preparations for things that are only going to have a limited shelf life. I don't want to make preparations so that people will pat me on the head and tell me how great I am and all of that sort of stuff. I want to be making preparations so that I can be more effective for the kingdom of God. And God tells Shebna exactly what was going to come to pass. Now, I'm not going to have enough time to go on into the next section, but I will give you this little teaser, and that is, whenever one person is removed from leadership, another person is put in their place. That's the person you want to be. That's the person that God says, you know what? This person is faithful. I can trust them with this. And so that's what is coming up on tomorrow's broadcast. So I do want to say thank you to those of you who listen. I know I mentioned the sponsors on here a lot, and we really do want to bless them, because without them, it would be a much more challenging to bring this broadcast to you. But periodically, I get cards in the mail from listeners, and I want you to know that I read those, whether it's an email, whether it's a card. No matter what it is, I read them, and I read them personally, and I try and respond to them personally. And I want to say thank you to those of you who've written and given us those words of encouragement. We don't take this responsibility, this privilege, lightly. You have a lot of things that you could be listening to, and we thank you for making us part of your day. So I want to close in prayer today and just ask God to give us ears to hear what he has for us. And we want to make sure that we're not being unfaithful in the positions he's given to us. Father, right now, we thank you. Lord, today we want to honor you. We want to honor you with our time. We want to honor you with the responsibilities that you've entrusted to us. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful and true. Lord, I pray that we would not be so focused on deeming ourselves important in our own eyes, but Lord, we would want you high and lifted up. Be Lord in this county. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.